Hallelujah. You have your Bibles with you tonight. You sure? Okay. You didn't sound like it. It's like, you know, looking like, as they say in Texas, a calf at a new gate or a deer in the headlights. Anyway, well, we're going to continue talking about faith for everyday living. Amen. First, before we even get into that, how many were here for Ed Elliott? How many enjoyed Ed Elliott, huh? He's a blessing, amen. You know, he has a, well, I don't have his, he sends a little email out every day, and it's, what's he call it? Spiritual something. Spiritual coffee, that's it. That's what he calls it. Pretty good. Ed's a good guy, know him a long time. We have, like I said, we went to Raymond together. We basically grew up in the Lord together, and God has given him a message about the love of God. And he's been preaching it faithfully for 30 years. Amen. And people come down on him about it because, you know, but he just keeps doing what the Lord's told him to do. Amen. Amen. So anyway, we want to continue with our message. You know, faith really has taken me from where I was to where I am, and faith will take you where you need to go. Amen. Amen. And God and faith will keep taking us. And one of the things we have to understand too is, you know, I think faith and grace are important in our life. And along with that, faith, grace, and then love, okay? But faith and grace. And there's many subjects in God's Word that are important, that are needful. There are many needs that need to be addressed on a daily basis. But faith has to be emphasized. And grace. Along with it goes grace, and grace is important. You know, it's the name of our church, Abundant Grace Church, all right? Because grace is really gets us where we're going, and grace is nothing more than learning to trust God, okay? It's the short version of it, and we looked at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can't, you know, and really what that tells us also is, actually, I have a little footnote that says, outside of the boundaries of faith, it's impossible to please God. And really what that's telling us is we have to trust in God. Faith is trusting in God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16 talks about the shield of faith that'll quench every fiery dart of the enemy. And then in 1 John chapter 5, it says our faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And when it talks about overcoming the world, it's talking about all the worldly lust, all the worldly things. It's our faith that does that, okay? We looked at Smith. I'm just doing a little review for those of you who might have not been here. They asked Smith Wigglesworth, why do you emphasize faith? Because he said, I'm saved by faith, amen. Right? We're filled with the Holy Ghost by faith. We're healed by faith. And man, you're going to get to heaven by faith, all right? Praise God. So faith is important in our lives, and we need to keep ourselves always stirred up in the arena of it. You heard my wife just, she left, she's catching a healing. So, but I told her, hun, stay home tonight, we'll get the music done, but she's, no, I'm going on. All right. But see, you heard her say something up here. She says, she sings that song, No More Bondage Around the House, all the time. Because there's no more bondage. We are free from the enemy. Yeah. All right? So, but we, in order to understand that, in order to get that alive in our heart, we need to keep ourselves stirred up in the arena of faith. Amen. Because, you know, there's many sides to faith. There's a lot about faith. Many different applications to faith, what we were saying. But so, you know, we have to just keep ourselves stirred up. I can't keep you stirred up. I can come up here, preach a message, you're getting all excited about it. But when you leave these doors and you go home, you need to stir yourself up. Hallelujah. Constantly stir yourself up. Constantly stir yourself up in the grace of God. But and one of the problems we have, and we're really talking about faith for everyday living. Faith so we could prosper, so we could help other people. All right? And we've been programmed that there are people starving all over the world. And there are people starving all over the world. And they need our help. How many of you know they need our help? Amen. But, you know, but unless you use your faith to prosper, you can't help them. Because when the offering bucket comes around because we want to give to missions or we want to help people in another, like Haiti or whatever, if you'll say, well, I can't afford to do that. Well, yes, you can if you stir yourself up in faith and start believing God that he wants you to prosper and understand that in your heart that God's a prospering God. God wants to bless us. So if we're not prosperous, we can't help those people. You know, unless the local church is prosperous. You say, you know, people go, well, you know, now they're starting to confess $6,500 a week. I said, listen, if it was up to me and Pastor Eddie, we'd be confessing $10,000 a week. And you know how that's going to come in? And right away, people, this is what people think. They want to get more money out of my pocket. You know, I was praying. The Lord says, you know, there's plenty. Got good news and bad news. Good news is there's plenty of money in the body of Christ. Bad news is it's in their pocket. You don't understand what I'm going? But how do you, there's people out there that don't go to church that if they got saved and knew about the goodness and the love of God, they'd flock to churches. And you know, it's not that we're looking to get more money out of your pocket. You only have so much money. But people come to church and then the church can go out and bless other people. Can you say amen? And we saw in Hebrews chapter 6, that's where we left off last year. Hebrews chapter 8, I'm sorry. We saw that Jesus obtained and established a new and better covenant through his death, burial, and resurrection and keeps it in ongoing through his priesthood. He is our high priest. You know, people say all the time, well, Jesus is the king. No, Jesus isn't king yet. Jesus will be the king. Right now, he's the priest. In the old, and when he was walking on earth, he was a prophet. The prophet, he's a priest, and he's a soon-coming king. When he comes back to this earth and rules and reigns for 1,000 years, it'll be King Jesus ruling. Right now, he's Jesus, our high priest, forever making intercession for you. You know what that means? In simplicity, it simply means this. He's making sure that when you put a demand on that covenant, something's going to happen. Thank you for that. Amen. You don't sound too excited. And it was established on better promise. And we saw that the word established means he legislated it. He legislated it. He put it into law. That covenant that you hear us talk about all the time. You know, and I've said this before too. One of the things in my life that I first learned when I got saved was about the blood covenant. The very first thing, an old Bible teacher out there was real popular in Monmouth in Ocean County, and now he lives in Texas. And all he ever taught, he was from England, and he had one of them English accents that I can't always kind of like understand, you know. But his name was Malcolm Smith. And Malcolm Smith, man, he taught more on the blood covenant. I still have CD, or not cassette tapes by him, probably they don't even work anymore, but of messages about the blood covenant and the importance of the blood covenant for Malcolm Smith. We used to go see him whenever we could, whenever he was doing something close by. We'd go listen to Malcolm because Malcolm used to talk about the blood covenant and how important it is and how to know how much God loves us and wants to bless us, but unless we understand what's in that covenant, it's not going to do us any good. You know what I'm saying? So the blood covenant is important. And this is talking about Jesus. He obtained. He obtained. He hit the mark. He hit the bullseye. And he obtained a more excellent ministry. And that's Jesus' high priestly ministry today. Making sure that his covenant stays in effect. And when you put a demand on that covenant, something's going to come to pass. And if you don't, I don't want to get ahead of myself. So he's the go-between. He's the mediator. It says that he's a mediator between a new and better covenant based on better promises. And he's the mediator. The Greek word means a more useful covenant. Better means more useful, more advantageous than they had in the Old Testament. Hello? You there? And it was established. And, you know, it's interesting about the word established. I don't know if I brought it out last week, but the word established is past tense. It's already established. It's not being established. You hear somebody say, well, God is establishing his will in our lives. No, he already has. You need to walk in it. It sounds so religious. He's establishing his will in your life, bless God. He's already established his will. He's already established his covenant. It's not ongoing. It's done already. It's past tense. It's done. And now what? Because it's done, it now becomes a spiritual law. You know there are spiritual laws in the Bible that you can't change. The law of sowing and reaping. It's a law. Just like the law of gravity. Man, I walk off this platform, I'm going to drop. But the law of sowing and reaping is a law that works for anybody who will work it. It doesn't say those that are saved, it'll only work for them. You know, here's another part. The law of gravity doesn't say it's only going to work for those people that know about it. You walk off the edge of a cliff, I don't care if you're dumb as a stump, you're dropping. And some people don't understand, how did they get so wealthy, man? How did it come they're so prosperous? They're not smart. You don't have to be smart to prosper. You just got to operate the law of sowing and reaping. Because what you sow is what you're going to reap. Amen. It's not rocket science, man. It's simplicity. It's simplicity. He legislated, he enacted it into law. And so we can see that God is telling us that he made a solemn pact, made a covenant, sealed it by the blood, and it's an unchangeable law. You can't change the, just like the law of rain, harvest, you know, seed time, harvest time. It's another law. Sowing and reaping, seed time, harvest time. You can't stop it. You plant a seed, it's going to grow. I don't care what kind of seed it is. Well, thank you for that. But that's why we could have faith in God's word. In the word of God, because Jesus' blood established it. That's why I could trust him. With everything I have, I don't have to worry. I'm not ashamed to go to God. Amen. I don't cower before God. And that's why I appreciated what Ed was preaching. I think I need to teach more like that, some of that stuff, because I believe that. I'm not afraid. I don't care how bad I messed up this morning. I am not afraid to go to God and climb in his lap and hug him. Because so many people don't understand that aspect. Man, if they don't understand that aspect of God, they're never going to be able to walk in this. If you can't understand it, I don't care how bad you've been. God expects us to be good, but sometimes we're just not good. But we could go to him because why? He loves us. He loves us. And so everything's been accomplished. It's one of the things we need to understand. You know, it's past tense. Healing is past tense. Healing's already been accomplished. And people think the benefits of the covenant are automatic. But people need to realize they're not automatic. We have to enforce it by faith. Not just going to happen and come to pass in your life because you're a good person. If anybody led you to believe that, they're leading you down a wrong road. You need to enforce it. You need to take hold of it by faith. It's been established already. In God's eyes, done. Now you need to receive it. Amen? Amen. You have to establish it here in your life, on earth. And it's done through faith, not unbelief. Not done through by judging other people, worrying about what they're doing. You know, people have a gift. It's called the gift of criticism. It's called the gift of judging. We're going to give them little hats that say, I'm a Chiquita banana fruit inspector. Worry about your own bad self. You don't have to worry about other people, man. You know what I'm saying? You walk in the love of God and the grace of God and let other people catch up. Don't worry about it.
Yep. Amen.
You know, me and my wife been in the ministry 33 years, and people say, you know, you just, that person's, they're, they ain't none of your business. Shut up. God will deal with them. God loves us.
Amen.
And he always ends up dealing with them. You know what the problem is? Not on your time frame.
Right.
Yeah. So, turn to Psalm 119. We'll continue. That was just a little ketchup. Now we'll put a little mustard on it. Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever. Everybody say forever.
Forever.
Oh, Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Forever. Forever. The word forever there means eternally. Eternally, his word is settled in heaven. It's unchangeable. Unchangeable. God has established it. He's legislated it. His word in heaven. You could say that he issued an executive order. And there ain't no liberal court that's going to override it.
Amen.
The devil will try to override it, but he can't override it. And in the word, forever, oh Lord, your word is settled in heaven, means something that's been uttered or spoken. So it's been spoken by God. And once God's spoken, it stands forever settled. No, I don't care. Nobody could change it.
Amen.
And it means to stand erect. To make something sure. I love that. And so I know one thing, that the word of God is sure. It's established in heaven. And all I need to do is stand on it because it's a sure foundation. Amen. Now the question comes, how? Some people say, well, you just throw your Bible on the ground and stand on it. And people say this all the time. I just thought it would happen. It's in the Bible. Sure is. People say, well, God made a promise. He's spoken it to my heart. People say this all the time. He spoke it to my heart. Yeah, he has. And I hear people say that all the time. But the real question is this. Is it written in your heart? And in your mouth? The heart, you know, I call it the heart-mouth connection. You know, I say this all the time. I know people. So we settled on a $6,500 amount of money because people could not get a $10,000 figure in their heart. They could not write that in their heart. Some of you are having a problem with $6,500 in your heart. But unless it's in your heart, you can't speak it out of your mouth. So a couple things have to happen. People need to come in line with what the word says.
Yes, hallelujah.
Okay? It's not enough that God's spoken his word. We need to speak it. You have to believe in your heart and confess it out of your mouth. I don't know how many times in this church we've said that. We've been accused to confess it and possess it. Well, go ahead. That's okay. You know, but we need to speak it. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, we looked at it last week. We, having the same spirit of faith according to as it is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. If you believe, you speak.
Amen.
People say, this stuff don't work. How many in this room tonight know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you are saved and you're going to heaven?
Amen.
Raise your hand if you know beyond a shadow of a doubt. You know it, right? You know it. I couldn't beat it out of you, right? If I took a baseball bat and took you in the woods and beat you up, you would still say it. See, because your faith works in your heart and in your mouth. And again, it's the heart-mouth connection. Romans chapter 10, verse, let's turn to Romans chapter 10. Because I hear people say, oh, you know, that's so stupid. I don't think I could do that. Then I often ask them this question, and then I have to question your salvation, my friend. Then they look at you like, what? Yeah. You know, see, what people need to understand, there's a legal side and a vital side. The legal side is simple. God did it already. Now, Romans chapter 10, verse 9, let's look at verse 9. It says, let's read verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. That if you confess with your mouth and believe in your confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So all these people that have a hard time with confession, I need to ask them, are you saved? Because if you're saved, how do you think you got saved? Amen. Little angel come over your head? I don't think so. You got saved because you believed in your heart and you confessed out of your mouth and you're saved. Well, let me tell you something. You want to prosper? You want to be healed? You need to start believing in your heart and confessing out of your mouth that you're prosperous and that you're healed. Because until you do that, you will not be prosperous and you will not be healed. You can think about it. You can say, hallelujah, the word of God says it. But until you start confessing it, it ain't happening. And you can shout amen or oh me. I don't really care anymore. I'm getting old and I don't care what I say. My mother used to say that all the time. She's right. I said, she's nuts. But the older I get, I don't care. Amen. See, the legal side is what Jesus did for us. And because we need to understand that there's this legal side and this vital side. And so the legal side is what Jesus did for us 2,000 years ago. And it's forever settled in heaven. It's unchangeable. It can never be tampered with. Nobody could stop it. It's forever settled. It's God's word. And if you want to take that one step further, Jesus is the word. Amen. Then there's the vital side. What's that? The knowledge that you are or are supposed to be walking in today. The knowledge of confession. All right? It's the revelation that God's word is at work in your life today. Not wishing, not hoping, not maybe, it is. Amen. That's walking, it's called walking by faith. Amen. And see, it took both the legal side and the vital side for the word of God to become a reality in your life when you got saved. You had to do something with the knowledge that you heard, because you had to confess it. You could have had that knowledge all your life. But unless you put faith to it by opening up your mouth and believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth, you would have knowledge of salvation and go straight to hell. Tough preaching, isn't it? Yeah. Jesus purchased our redemption 2,000 years ago. And guess what? The new birth is available to anyone who calls on the name of the Lord. That's the legal side. side of it. But the thing about it, it does not become a reality until you place a demand on Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. A demand on what? The promise that God made. Again, you're not putting a demand on God. You're putting a demand on the covenant, on the promises, all the things that are in there, all the benefits that belong to us in the new birth. That's what we're putting the demand on. We're not bossing God around. Okay? Let me ask you a question. How many have like an insurance policy or extended warranty on your car, stuff on your house, your refrigerator, and all this other stuff? You all got one, don't you? Good. Legally, it's yours. Right? You signed it. You pay your, you know, you got that home deal with the water. You know, if something happens to the water or something in your house with the water company, you pay your like $6 a quarter or whatever they charge you for it, and everything is cool. It's yours. Legally, it's yours. That's good. But unless you put a demand on it, doesn't do you any good, right? I mean, if your pipe broke in front of your house, and you just go, oh, my God, what am I going to do? Oh, my God, what am I going to do? It happened to me a few years back. The pipe broke, and I called a couple of people that I know that were plumbers, and, you know, the pipe's broken, the water's coming everywhere and everything, and I had totally forgot my covenant with Suez Water Company. And unless I put a demand on that warranty, I would have paid a lot of bucks out of my pocket to get that pipe fixed. But all I had to do was dial 1-800, get your butt over here. Little guy come over in his truck, looked at it. He said, okay, we'll take care of it. Took him a couple hours to dig up everything, get the thing fixed, sign a little paper. That's it. What? But what did I have to do? Oh, I got a warranty. Oh, la-di-da. If you don't put a demand on it, it's not going to do you any good. That's Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. If you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. See, we need to come into alignment with the Word of God to receive eternal life. That's why we need to tell people about Jesus. All right? It says confess. The word confess is the word homologo, and it means to agree with or say the same thing as. Oh, now it puts a little bit of light on it. That's what happened when you got saved. You agreed. You were saying the exact same thing that the Word of God says. So when 1 Peter says that by his stripes you are healed, you need to get into agreement with that. And when it says, I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me, that means you have to confess that out of your mouth. And we can go on. You were convicted in your heart about the gospel of Jesus, and you confessed that truth, and you divinely got into agreement with God, and guess what? Now you're going to heaven. Ain't that great? You know, really believing God raised him from the dead for you. Although he was already raised from the dead, until you believe God, he was still dead to you. Okay, thank you for that. And then in verse 10, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness. You know, and then when you did verse 10, believed in your heart, confessed with your mouth, the lordship of Jesus. That's what God purchased for you. That's the legality of what Jesus did on the cross. But that's just, you know, I'm using that because that's the simplest one for people to understand, because mostly when people come to church, most of them are saved. But what we don't need, what we need to reconcile to our hearts is that this is for every promise in the Word of God. Every one of them. Faith for daily living. This is what we're calling this. Faith for daily living. God wants you to prosper. God wants you to be blessed. God wants you to be healed. God wants you to have a sound mind. Yes, He does. That all became, when you got saved, all of the resurrection of Jesus became a reality in your life. Your faith placed a demand on an eternal truth. And the eternal law of the covenant became a reality in your life. And the good news is it works. It's just the way it works. You know? You don't get saved one way and receive healing another way. It's the same way. Prosperity. Blessings. It's all the same. It's by faith. It all works the same way, by believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. You know, Word of God says you were dead in your sin and trespasses, but by using your faith, God gave us, we were born again. It went to work. It took something that was dead and made it alive. It took your spirit that was separated from God and separated and brought it back to God. So let me ask you this question. We'll start to bring us to a little bit of a close here. If the faith God gave us made something dead alive, right? If the faith you used to receive Jesus made you alive, that same faith will take that sickness and make it better. That same faith will take that poverty and make it prosperity. It's the way it works. It's a spiritual law. Our covenant is spiritual. Make your stand. Because Satan has to recognize it. He has no choice. You know? And he has to yield to it. Because he has no choice. Colossians 2:15, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Jesus triumphant over the devil. And see, our faith can bring God can bring our provision that we need to our life. Jesus was made a surety of a better covenant. He was the down payment. One translation says this: by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better covenant. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22. The Phillips translation says it like this: he is by virtue of this fact himself the living guarantee of a better agreement. See, Jesus is in heaven in his high priestly role. He's not a prophet anymore. He's not a king yet, but he's got a function. His function is to make sure and guarantee that when we put a demand on the covenant, that it comes to pass. You need to believe it. You know, Jesus is the only man that made a last will and testament and died so it could be enforced and rose again to make sure we received it. I told this story before. I told it a lot of times. About a little girl in a communist country was going to a Bible study. And as she was walking to the Bible study, she had her Bible in her hand, and she was walking, and she got stopped by soldiers. And the soldier says, "What are you doing?" And the little girl was sitting there, and she didn't say anything too much, and they kept prodding her. She says, "Where are you going? What are you doing?" The little girl just spoke up and said, "My older brother died. And we're going to read the last will and testament." She was going to a prayer meeting. None of you, she didn't get it. I preached for 40 minutes. None of you just looking at me like, she's going to have the last will and testament read of her brother. I tell you what, most Christians would be amazed at what their faith would do if they could see the gift of God's faith that has been given to them and put it to work and watch it grow. You'd be amazed. You'd be amazed. Instead of looking at the circumstances, constantly looking at the circumstances, there's not enough money, I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills, I don't know how I'm going to do this, I don't know how I'm going to do that. And that's what the devil does. Whoa, what's the page? There it is. Instead of putting the faith to work, confessing it, not just out of, what's the word they you, just not to say it because it's something to say. You need to believe it in your heart. If they would be patient, it would produce a great harvest. Hey, listen, I've been there, done that. I'll be doing this, I'll be doing that. All of a sudden something happens and your confession is great. Everything happens. All of a sudden something happens and you go, oh. Yeah, that's what you do. Instead of looking at it and saying, well, bless God, I'm in covenant with God. He's going to see me through.
Amen.
I'm going over. I'm not going under.
Amen.
You know, Patsy Caminiti, a lot of you know who Patsy Caminiti is. I knew her when she was Patsy Bierman and she ran the prayer department at Rhema. And every 2 weeks, when she got her paycheck, me and my wife worked in there, she first thing she would do, write her tithe check. Very first thing she would do. Then she'd lay hands on her checkbook. And she says, God, you know what's in here? You know what bills I got to pay. I'm a faithful tither. So I put a demand on the covenant that you're going to see me through. Today, her and her husband run Rhema Bible Church in somewhere overseas. I don't know if it's in China, but they've been all over the world. They were in Italy, then they were in Australia, then they were all over the place. But you understand, it's don't look at the circumstance, because the circumstance will short circuit you. Bobby Andy used to say this all the time. He don't care if God's got to send a St. Bernard with a brown bag in his mouth with the money. You need to trust God that much. And that's all what Ed was talking about. Trusting God that much. But we get looking at different circumstances. You know, he's got a rich inheritance for us. You know, I look at my checkbook at home and looked at what I got coming up, and I said, okay, God, thank you, Jesus. We're getting $6,500 on Sunday at the church. We're going to get $500 on Wednesday nights. I thank you that it's coming in, and I thank you that I don't have to worry about all this baloney I got going here, because if I think about this, I can't pray. If I think about this, I can't study. Amen. God will always come through.
Amen.
Always. Never seen him not come through.
Amen.
Man, I'll tell you what. I'm losing my shirt. There we go. We got it. Now my arm's tightened out. I've had my electric turned off. Still believe in God. Confessing the word. People look at you like you're nuts. I tell a story that happened here years ago with the bank. They were ready to take the building. They all come up there. You know, and the only thought I have in my head is, remember in the old movies, the villain with the hat? Well, that's kind of like what I thought. In the music room, you can start to come up here, okay? And these three guys came upstairs, and they said, you go this much money, what are you going to do? I'm sitting there thinking in my head, I'm going, God, what am I going to do? And the one guy was just nasty, man. One guy, he was like the hit man of the group. And the other guy knew me, and he felt kind of bad about it. But still, they wanted their money. They wanted $60,000 then. And the one guy said, so what are you going to do about it? Just like that, man. How many of you been in that conference room down there with that big long table? I used to be upstairs. It was me and them. He wasn't around. Nobody was there. I was all alone with these three devils. And I just looked at him and I said, I don't know. And they went into shock because they probably thought I was going to come up with this big, long, like, kind of plan and I'm going to do this. I said, you know, I've got to be real honest with you. I said, I tried to work a deal out with you before. You turned me down three times. I said, I'll just pay the interest on a loan. As we go down the road, we'll start to catch it up. But you know what? You guys, I said, I was away in Canada, and I had to pay where we had the daycare center, and you guys took all the money out of that account. I said, so you guys have no, like, morals or scruples or anything. I said, so you're asking me what I'm going to do. I said, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know God will do something. Amen. And I got up. I said, have a good day. And I went back in my office. How many years ago is that, Ed? Long time ago. Still here. Amen. I walked in my office, shut the door, and said, am I nuts to even say that to them? They could come put a padlock on it the next day. But God took care of it. He sent someone to take care of it. And it was one of them things, I didn't call anybody up and ask them anything because my pride would not let me do that. I said, Lord, you got to like, I says, you know what? Let's get ready to roll. Find a storefront. You know, the word is the word, whether I'm here or on a storefront. It don't matter. Still preaching the word, right? But we're still here. Had a few close calls. So when I say you got to trust in God, you just got to trust in the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we praise you tonight. We thank you for your word, and I thank you that it fell on good soil. Lord God, I hope people receive the spirit of what we were talking about tonight in the name of Jesus. Lord, that we would learn that heart-mouth connection, Father God, that we believe in our heart, believe it, get it in our heart, meditate in the word of God, get it in our heart and speak it out of our mouth in the name of Jesus. And Father, we praise you for it and thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.